I'm Jennifer Ludden, in for Michelle Martin. This is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, more on the legacy of late Senator Ted Kennedy. Known as a champion for civil rights, he was a leading force in the fight for equality for the gay community. But first, after years of political lobbying and bureaucratic delays, large numbers of Iraqi refugees are finally being resettled in the United States. But they're arriving amidst an economic recession. That means an already difficult transition has become nearly impossible for some. Many Iraqi refugees can't find steady work. They're having trouble feeding their families. Some are on the verge of homelessness. Bob Carey is the International Rescue Committee's Vice President of Refugee Resettlement and the co-author of a recent report on how Iraqis are faring in the U.S. Also with us is Cameron. He's an Iraqi refugee who's been living in the U.S. since January 2008. He worked as a translator for the U.S. Army in Iraq, and he's asked that we not use his last name out of fear for the safety of family members who still live in Iraq. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you for having me, Jennifer.
Thank you very much.
Bob, I'd like to start with you. The government has said that in this fiscal year, it hopes to resettle 17,000 Iraqi refugees here in the U.S. That's a huge leap from just a few years ago. Your organization has traveled to some of the cities where they're being resettled. Can you give me a snapshot of how these newly arriving Iraqis are faring?
Unfortunately, Jennifer, not particularly well. You know, the good news in the story is that they are safe. Unlike when they were in Iraq or Jordan or Syria, they're not fearing for their lives. But they are arriving in a very tough economic time. And unfortunately, it's a bit of a perfect storm, a program that was structurally flawed to begin with, which provides very minimal assistance to incoming refugees, required them to go to work almost immediately if they were going to survive. And our support is limited. And in this current economy, that's simply not possible. So we saw many refugees and have heard from our 24 offices across the U.S. that many refugees are on the verge of homelessness and they're unable to support their families or find work. So it's really a tragedy.
You call the program structurally flawed. Can you just explain that it is predicated on the fact that people will really get on their feet pretty quickly? Tell me what subsidies there are and how long they last.
It's pretty basic, and it's over the years it's been cut back. But at this point, you know, it may be as little as 1 month of financial support, after which a refugee is expected to go to work or is provided with minimal support for another 6 or 7 months at the most. And that support is not enough to live on.
Cameron, I'd like to bring you into the conversation. You worked as a translator for the U.S. Army in Iraq. What kind of work did you hope to be able to do in the U.S., and what have you actually found?
I am a computer programmer, so I was hoping to find a job as a programmer or something related to my profession. I had no job for like almost 6-7 months. And after that, I found a job as a cashier in a gas station. And that was really hard to me because I consider myself as a high education. I have 2 degrees. But I had to accept it and do it to survive.
Do you have a family?
Yeah.
Children?
My wife and I have 2 boys.
And how old are the boys?
The old one is almost 4 years, and the young one is 2 years and a half.
Do you still have that job? What are you doing now?
After like a couple months, I was really lucky. I found a job in a military base as an instructor, teaching Arabic language to the soldiers, using my experience because I worked 3 years with the U.S. Army over there in Iraq. So it was like a great job. I had it, but it was a part-time job in the beginning. And later it was full-time job, and I was really happy with it. It was like great time I had in my life. But later they cut the hours. 2 months I had nothing, 0 hours. And the week before the previous week, I worked just 2 days. And the last week I worked 5 days, which is great. But for this week and next week, I guess I have nothing. And after that, same.
If you're just joining us, I'm Jennifer Ludden, and you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm speaking with Cameron, an Iraqi who moved to the U.S. in 2008, about the status of Iraqi refugees who've arrived to the U.S. during the recession, and also with Bob Carey of the International Rescue Committee. Bob, is this story typical, what you've spoken to other Iraqi refugees across the country? Are they getting jobs at all? What kinds of jobs are they getting? Are they also being laid off during the recession?
The story that Cameron's telling is really more the norm than the exception. And I think also, you know, this is a highly skilled professional population, highly educated overall, many doctors, lawyers, engineers, who are really a great potential asset to the communities in which they're resettling. And if they're working at all, they're working in service jobs in the fast food industry, and many have been laid off.
As I understand it, some Iraqis who've come all the way over here and resettled have found the situation so dire they actually are thinking of or have even returned to Iraq. And some have even have relatives in Iraq send them money here to help them get through. Cameron, I'm wondering, knowing what you know now, would you still have decided to come to the U.S. had you known how difficult it would be?
Actually, I decided to come to the United States, and I'm not thinking to go back to Iraq, never. When I left Iraq, actually I escaped from Iraq, I faced difficult, really difficult time. My life was in danger, and I was lucky because I'm alive. Honestly, I'm really glad I'm in the United States, and I think it was like best things I did in my life. In my opinion, everything when it's going to start is going to be hard. You have to fight to do whatever you believe. And what I believe is not about myself. I'm doing that for my child, my boy's future. They have a right to live, and they have a right to choose what they want to do. It's not just like send him over and let him face what they're going to face.
Bob, you've called the system flawed. What does the International Rescue Committee recommend to help Iraqi refugees here?
Well, we have a number of recommendations. One is that there be emergency funding for the most basic needs, such as housing and medical needs, that there be both increased federal assistance and a uniform level of service. Right now, it's a bit like a lottery. Depending on which state refugees go to, they may get a different level of support. That there be better preparation of refugees prior to arrival, and they receive better information to ensure that they're making a well-informed decision to come here. We also call for a comprehensive study of the program to see what has worked and what has not. We also believe there should be increased services for the most vulnerable. Every refugee I've met with from Iraq has a personal story of trauma. You know, the levels of trauma are higher than what I've seen among any refugee population I've ever worked with. And there really are not the types of services present in the United States that are geared to providing the level of the kind of counseling they need. And it needs not be exhaustive, but there should be some basic psychosocial services provided to these people.
I can imagine that some would say, look, you know, the economy is just really hard on everyone right now. It's not the time. The government is strapped for money. Maybe we just need to hold off and resettle fewer Iraqis for now.
Well, I think right now it's important to understand what these Iraqi refugees are coming from. These are people who almost all have received credible death threats, and many have lost family members. If they have fled Iraq, they're in countries like Jordan or Syria, where they have no legal status. They don't have the right to work. Women are being forced into prostitution to survive. You know, they have suffered greatly because of their associations with the U.S. And, you know, we really believe that many people's lives are at risk here. So they don't really have the luxury of waiting. So I do think we have, as a country, a moral obligation to protect or at least provide some level of adequate support to people who've put their lives at risk for the United States.
Cameron, you say you're working a little bit, but not enough to support your wife and two sons. What is your plan for kind of getting through this recession? And is there something else you'd like to see from the government?
Actually, I tried many times to find another job, like full-time job. But, you know, the situation is like the economy and the people, they're laying off, so they don't hire that much. And because I'm in the United States, so I have no really chance or opportunity to get in.
Can I ask, how are you paying bills now?
The good days I worked, so I had some saving money. So I'm just going to take from my saving, put it together and pay my bills. And honestly, it's getting really hard and really tight. I don't know how it's going to be next month, but I hope it's going to be good.
Cameron is an Iraqi refugee who moved to the U.S. in January 2008 after working as a translator for the U.S. Army in Iraq. He asked that we not use his last name to protect his family still in Iraq. He joined us from member station KUOW in Seattle. Bob Carey is the International Rescue Committee's Vice President of Refugee Resettlement, and he joined us from member station KLIU in Southampton, New York. Thanks very much to both of you.
Thank you,
Jennifer.